in the first lesson, almost 2 weeks ago now, we verified which Bible to use that would have the facts in it. The facts that God gave us would not be missing the facts. And which gospel Jesus Christ preached to Israel. Now, let's look and see what Christ sent his disciples to preach, actually as apostles. They were sent out ones. That's an apostle sent out. The sendings of Paul verified that he was an apostle, a sent out one. He gave them something to preach, and he backed it with his authority to send them with that. And we'll look into his authority too today, hopefully. Starting in verse 1, and when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, so at that point they're disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And that's some of the marks of the kingdom, actually, from the Old Testament. Look for the one that is able to cast out demons to clean the nation. The unclean nation. Clean the unclean nation. Matthew 10:2. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. So he gave them this power to send out with it, and then he calls them apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, son of Zebedee, John, his brother. Verse 3, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican. Interesting to be noted as being a publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Verse 4, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Then we get to verse 5. Give me a second here to change this view here so I can see it better. Alright, verse 5. These 12, the ones he just named, that were disciples and became apostles, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Well, that leaves us out. And into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if you check, you know, the context, the remote context, other places where he told them to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that's called the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, past tense, freely give, present tense. Verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Welcome to the room. Verse 10, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats nor shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Verse 11, this is Matthew 10, verse 11, and into whatsoever city you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy. This is a high calling, not just anybody, to be associated with, there to be associated with those that are worthy. And there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you, still about this sending, when they go out, these instructions, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city, the city that doesn't receive these apostles. Verse 16, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they shall deliver you up to the councils. We saw that in Acts 6 and 7. We'll see it. For they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. In other words, it's going to have to happen. Then we will, God is saying, then I've got a legitimate charge against the Gentiles. Well, he had a legitimate charge, from before Noah. Read Romans 1. The Lord had given up on the Gentiles when he called Abraham and the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, Abraham's grandson. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For now, this is a stark contrast to what we're told, isn't it? Take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Another place it says, do not premeditate what you will say. We're told to study. We've got to look up and compare spiritual things with spiritual. We're told to study, to not be ashamed. So, in verse 20, for it is not you that speak, still sending them, getting, and this is all just environment, how to think about what you're doing when you go out with these instructions and the power that he had given them. Let's see, for it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Verse 22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Verse 23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee to another city. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Well, doesn't the so-called Great Commission include Jerusalem, Judah in Israel, Samaria in Israel, that's northern Israel, and then the commission includes into all the world? But here the Lord Jesus says, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. So when he gave him that later commission, he had already given him instructions that this thing is going to be put on hold. Not using that term, of course, but there's going to be a gap. You shall not have gone over the cities of Israel, which they were told to do, and then they were to go to all the rest of the world. You won't get over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come, when he comes back again, after the catching up, after the tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, when the Lord is scheduled to return to earth and to touch down. So, let's go on. With that in mind, that early sending, let's look a couple chapters later at what the Lord gives Israel as their unforgivable sin to watch out not to do it. It was speaking against the Holy Ghost. So look in Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Whew. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. This, again, being spoken to Israel as part of Israel's instructions, blessing or curse, it would be a curse if they speak against if they blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But going on to verse 32, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. That was at the cross. The Lord forgave him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So they're aware that blaspheming the Holy Ghost will cut them off, that will they'll be cast away eventually, and you know, blinded. The blinding, they had been reminded of it over and over by prophets, by the Lord himself when he walked the earth, that they would be blinded. And then, you know, finally Paul is inspired of God to read that blinding curse to them at the end of Acts. But let's go on. The life, Jesus Christ's life on earth, and his ability to be the atoning sacrifice for his people and for others, yet unknown, though they didn't know about us, other people that he would be an atonement for. But even at that time, his ability to be an atoning sacrifice for his people is what we're going to look at here. Look at John 4, 25 and 26. John 4, 25. Now we're going to see that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Christ prophesied in the Old Testament. John 4, 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah's cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So, regarding the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am he. Don't accept the Islamic claims that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah or the Christ or God. Well, look at 1 John 5:20. Jesus is the true God. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us understanding that we may know him that is true. Look at that word true for a minute. Remember John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth. And he goes on with the rest of the verse. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He claims to be the truth, though. John 7, verse 18, we can look at, too. John 7, 18. Thank you for posting these verses. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, that we may know him that is true. And he goes on, and no unrighteousness is in him. Look at again at John 5:20. It's in the text there still. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, and even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and this is the true God. Jesus Christ is God. Don't let them tell you he's not. God tells you he is. John 14:6, remember, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the life. He is the eternal life. We are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I am the life. So, talking about Jesus, you know, some of the conditions there apply to Israel, but the facts about who Jesus is doesn't change, depending, you know, because of who he's talking to at the time. What about some other aspects? Jesus is the Lamb of God. John 1:29. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world in Israel's earthly program. Now, at the time, that's all they knew, was that it would be through Israel's earthly program that Jews and those that come to God through Israel and their program, Israel's program, could be saved in the future. But the Gentile, every Gentile could have been saved if he came to God through God's program, earthly program, to reclaim the earth and the authority on the earth through Israel. But, you know, many had their own gods, etc., and just ignored the law and the supremacy of God. So, but let's look at some of these verses. We'll read through John 1:34, starting in John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I... Let me just stop there before I go to 30. They'll tell you, you know, dispensationalism is wrong. Look at John 1:29. Jesus takes away the sins, not just of Israel, but of the world. Well, he did. Any Gentile, up to the time this was written, up to when John lived and Jesus walked the earth, before the Lamb of God was put on the cross, well, even afterwards in Acts there, they could have believed that Jesus was the Messiah, repented of believing other gods, of going astray from God, and been water baptized to be part of God's kingdom on earth and the salvation that it afforded. So he did take away the sins of the world. And then as things changed, it wasn't until it was revealed to Paul that Jesus Christ was taking away the sins of the whole world without necessarily going through Israel, as had been the implications in this verse. So let's go on then. John 1:30. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. Well, why didn't he know his cousin? He knew his cousin. It doesn't say he didn't know his cousin. He says, the reason I knew him was that he should be made manifest to Israel. You see, he's got it kind of reversed there, but that's what he's saying. I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. And another place it talks about, well, this might be it here. We'll get into it. Let me finish reading this now. Verse 32, And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. I knew him not, but that he sent me to baptize with water. The same said to me, I missed something there, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, that's an identification, a special person, one person, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear witness that this is the Son of God. In other words, even back in verse 31, when he said, I knew him not, he didn't know which one the Holy Spirit was going to land on, whether it was his cousin that he knew, or, you know, but he did not know who would be the one chosen of God that would be, or the one that was sent of God as the Son of God, which he was to baptize people in the name. How's it go? Let's see. The same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. So, he came baptizing to manifest, but he, verse 31, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. So, if we look into Acts now, let's get into Acts 2. And, after Israel stumbled at the cross, in the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of those four accounts of his life, Peter wrote to them about the continuation of prophecy. Daniel's 70th week that they had come up through, they realized that the 69th week was when Daniel had prophesied in I think it's 26, verse 26, Daniel 9, 26, or possibly 25. Daniel had prophesied that Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself, not any sins on his part. So Isaiah's prophecy fulfillment awaited, well, we'll get into that, but it awaited those Israel complying with Leviticus 26, verses 40 to 42. That fulfillment of that prophecy awaited Israel complying with 2 Chronicles later on, much later in their history, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and even later, complying with 1 John 1:9. Let's read those verses. These are to Israel and about, well, it tells what they're about. Let's read it. And if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, that's Jeremiah 30, verse 11, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. Well, referring back to these verses, centuries later in Israel's history, these verses in Leviticus 26, Israel is reminded in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, he's not saying my people, anybody that thinks Jesus is God or God is God. No, he's talking specifically in the Bible when it talks about my people. It's God's chosen people. It's Israel he's talking about. So if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn, then will I hear and forgive and heal the land. Again, referring back to Leviticus 26 and those verses back there in the giving of the law, Israel is reminded in 1 John 1:9, after Christ's coming, his death and burial and resurrection and ascension back to heaven, John writes, if we, Israel, confess our, Israel's, sins, he, God, is faithful to forgive us, our sins, Israel's sins, and to cleanse us, Israel, from all unrighteousness. That's what's going on there in Acts 2 and 3, with the preachers standing up, especially Peter, and preaching to Israel all over the place, I shouldn't say all over the place, but over and over, from the temple and from the streets, trying to get Israel to come into line and for their leadership and the majority of Israel to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, that was sent to them and that they crucified. But they wouldn't believe. Just that little flock believed. And I'm glad they did. What happened? What happened? No sound? Sound better now? Is it on? Is it coming through? There we go. Thanks. Big lag. Okay, well, maybe stopping the mic there gave it a break. All right. Regarding Acts 2 and 3, does the Bible say it has to do with the first days of something? or the last days of something? Does the Bible say it has to do with the body of Christ or with Israel? Well, let's see. Look at Acts 2:14. Acts 2:14, and we'll go through verse 17. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. So he's speaking to Judah, to men of Judah, to Jerusalemites, and to those Jews there. Be it known unto you, and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing that it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. So, before we go on, look at those words again. See if it's talking about the last days of the body of Christ. How could it be? It's the body of Christ. There's nothing about the body of Christ up till now, nothing that the body of Christ had started, or that there's any difference. It's talking to Jews, people in Judaism, in God's earthly program that had been, you know, since the giving of the law, since Genesis 1, verse 2. Everything is about Israel's, everything is about, including Israel, is about God's earthly program on earth. Not about the heavenly program that the body of Christ is concerned with. So, if you still think that it refers to the body of Christ instead of Israel, then please read Joel 2, verses 27 through 31, and you'll see that that's not... Joel, that Peter said, this is that. Joel wasn't talking about the body of Christ. He was talking about Israel over and over, and the coming, upcoming, what Israel had coming for disobedience, for going away from God, from going after other gods, for not believing that Jesus was God, the Messiah. Joel's prophecy for Israel is sandwiched between two references to Israel, not the body of Christ, as you read those verses back there in Joel 2, 27 to 31. So many people confusedly think that Acts 2 was the first days of the body of Christ. Acts 2 is not the first days of anything. Acts 2 is the last days that Joel prophesied for Israel in the book of Joel in the Old Testament. Joel prophesied to and about Israel and Israel's last days. And regarding Joel's last days of Israel prophecy, Peter said there in Acts 2, he said, this is that. This is that prophesied last days, if they would have received the king and the kingdom. And that's verified over in the next chapter in Acts 3, 19 and 20. But let's look again. We'll read a little further in Acts 2, repeating Acts 2:17. We didn't get finished with that. Just a second, please. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, that God, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. In other words, not just Israel now. So that's part of what's coming. But this is the verse here. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and my handmaids, maidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. Well, it goes on, it gets worse. It gets pretty heavy, the destruction that goes on. And that didn't happen then, did it? Something stopped it from happening. It changed from being, well, I won't get into that right now. We're going to close soon. We'll get into that in other lessons. But who were signs and wonders for? who were to benefit by signs and wonders? The Lord told Israel that's the way they were wired. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And that's how signs and wonders started in Exodus 4, as a means of getting Israel to believe. So signs and wonders were to cause Israel to believe. And when does the Bible say that Israel will believe? When will they believe? They stopped believing soon after they came out of the wilderness there. And soon after they stopped having to believe on the Lord. Look in Zechariah chapter 12. We're going to finish up here soon. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. That's the difference maker. When the Lord pours out on them the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and instead of shouting in anger against him, crucify him, it says they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Israel will finally believe their God in the tribulation. That's when it happens. Couple more verses in Acts 2, verses 20 and 21. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. The great and notable day of the Lord is not just the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is a long period there from the catching up, well, not literally, from the beginning of the 70th week. 70th week is triggered when there's spiritual darkness on the earth because the body of Christ is caught up to be with the Lord. So then Israel's prophecy begins again, which starts where it left off at the beginning of the 70th week. And, excuse me, sorry about that. Didn't get to the mute button in time. But it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord. So the great and notable day of the Lord is the descent of Jesus Christ from heaven to tear apart the Mount of Olives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved? Saved from what? Saved from what Joel and Peter just described. Jacob's trouble. Those that are in Jacob's trouble can be saved out of it whenever, you know, when whosoever of them shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's what that verse is about. Not that anybody in the world that says, help me, Lord, is saved. No, that's been a source of controversy and conflict. People think that's a place where the Bible contradicts itself, where one place it says that you're saved by believing that Christ died for your sins and rose for your justification. Believe it unto yourself that it's your sins that he died for and your justification that he effected when he rose. But, you know, some people say that. And then look at this verse. It says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, it's a different salvation. It's a salvation from something different. There, not eligible to go up in the catching up. It's already occurred by the time that happens, by the time the tribulation occurs. So when this verse applies for is during the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we could just look at, there it is. Okay, that's the one I wanted to put up there. Verse 7 in Jeremiah 30, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. There is the cross-reference to it. So, that's what I've got for today, and we'll try and get back tomorrow if I don't have an unexpected occurrence. Anyway, Any questions or comments before we go to a song and then another lesson?